Good morning. Bill Lynch with the CBS World News Roundup. Wearing a bulletproof vest, President Bush has just arrived in Cartagena, Colombia for a six-hour drug summit, and he's posing now with the leaders of Colombia, Peru, and Bolivia. White House correspondent Wyatt Andrews reports security is tight against possible narco-terrorist attack.
On land, there are thousands of soldiers deployed, screening cars and checking identification. The harbor is patrolled by Colombian Navy surface ships, by frogmen, and even submarines. On the streets, vendors are being told not to set up shop today. Mr. Bush is bringing a five-year, $2.2 billion aid package, along with American promises to crack down on the use of drugs. But the sense here is still that the United States is letting itself off easy. Former Colombian ambassador to the United States, Rodrigo Llorieda.
Colombia has paid a very high price in terms of death, in terms of destruction, and people feel in this country that maybe the United States and other consuming countries have not done their part.
The drug lords are also tempting the government to do business with them, not with the gringos. Pablo Escobar's organization has recently showered the government with gestures of surrender, including weapons and cocaine processing labs. So far, the Colombian government is saying no to any deal with the cartel, but this is part of the reason President Bush has risked this trip. First, to signal international support for Colombia's hard line, and second, to press the case that $2.2 billion in aid is an adequate American sacrifice. More on this one-day drug summit from correspondent Doug Tunnell.
Delegations from the United States, Colombia, Peru, and Bolivia met weeks ago to draft an agreement on the drug war. It is to be signed by the presidents of all four countries here in Cartagena this afternoon. But that is not to say the four leaders are in accord on all aspects of the war on the cocaine cartels. The Bush administration's willingness to step up the role of the U.S. military in monitoring the drug traffic is a sensitive area. Peru's president, Alan Garcia, initially reacted to the U.S. invasion of Panama by threatening to stay away from today's meeting. There's also broad disagreement between the United States and the Latin governments on how to spend U.S. aid in the drug war. While the Bush administration's approach favors law enforcement, Latin leaders want more U.S. development aid to help make up for the loss of jobs and income in nations where the cocaine industry employs an estimated 1.5 million people. The cartels have been sending peace signals to Colombia's government. The Medellin cartel turned over a major cocaine lab complex just yesterday. One thing President Bush may want to hear in Cartagena today is an unequivocal commitment to pursuing all the drug lords and to extradition, despite the goodwill gestures from Medellin in recent weeks. Doug Tunnell, CBS News, Cartagena.
The Washington Post reports federal prosecutors are prepared to broaden their case against Mayor Marion Barry. They reportedly will seek his indictment for possession and distribution of drugs, lying to a grand jury, and other crimes. The paper also says Barry will extend his treatment at a West Palm Beach substance abuse clinic to late March. 3:30 past the hour. In Soweto Township, South Africa, the visiting Jesse Jackson spent an hour today with Nelson Mandela. He noted that Mandela represents many more people than President de Klerk, but said their relationship is vital to the country's future. Correspondent Richard Wagner reports how South Africa is adjusting to a free Mandela.
Nelson Mandela's release has produced a variety of reactions all across South Africa. In black townships, with strong support for the African National Congress, the Black Liberation Movement, of which Mandela says he's a loyal and disciplined member, there is continuing euphoria. But among other groups of this nation's black people, there's disappointment that Mandela, in his public remarks, is promoting the decades-old aims of the ANC, rather than, as one organization put it, the needs of all in striving for the unity of the oppressed. In the business community here, there's been strong negative response to Mandela's call for nationalization of the mines and other vital industries, and his support for continuing guerrilla activity and economic sanctions against the government, which has just released him from prison. The South African Stock Exchange has lost some 8% of its total value in the last 3 days. There are people here, both black and white, who are saying that Nelson Mandela, after 27 years in prison, may be out of touch with the present-day realities of South Africa. Richard Wagner, CBS News, Johannesburg.
3 days of mourning has begun in Soviet Tajikistan for the 37 people reported killed there in ethnic rioting. CBS News reporter Jonathan Sanders reports from Moscow.
The Soviet armed forces still have not restored order in riot-torn Dushanbe. In the Tajik capital, looting, mob violence, and attacks on government buildings continued for a third day. There is talk of an agreement between protesters and the local government. It calls for party officials to resign once peace is restored. Today is a crucial test for this agreement. The riots were sparked by rumors that Armenians evacuated from another troubled Soviet city, Baku, were being given choice housing in Dushanbe. The Muslim-led Popular Front of Tajikistan demanded Christian Armenians be resettled elsewhere. They called for a new Tajik government and the closing of a pollution-producing aluminum plant. While the government is mulling over these demands in the latest flare-up of ethnic violence, they are rushing additional troops to Dushanbe. Jonathan Sanders, CBS News, Moscow.
In the Soviet capital overnight, fire gutted the editorial offices of the outspokenly reformist weekly Moscow News and a neighboring theatrical society where a drama student leapt to his death trying to escape the flames. The Moscow News has been threatened by Russian nationalists. Its editor suspects arson. It's 7 minutes past the hour. Much of the nation has been taking a winter weather beating from snow, sleet, freezing rain, and thunderstorms. The Midwest is hardest hit. Detroit is slogging through its worst storm of the season, and Chicago is also under 8 inches of new snow.
This is Roberta Giacina with CBS radio station WWJ in Detroit. The 5 to 6 inches of snow here has caused hundreds of schools to close and multitudes of fender benders on freeways and surface streets. Airports are open with some minor delays for de-icing. People who plow parking lots and driveways in their spare time, like Bill Dombrowski, say the snow for them is actually pay dirt.
How much will you make on a day like today?
Well, it all depends. I'll make good money today.
As much as $1,000?
Easy.
Roberta Giacina for CBS News, Detroit.
Alaska's Mount Redoubt is erupting again this morning. Mark Roble is with the Homer, Alaska police.
Right now we're having a very heavy ash fallout as a result of the eruption. The skies are very dark. The ash is coming down in what I would describe as billowing clouds, almost like a blizzard.
In Southern California, hundreds of people worked through a cold night on beaches and skimming boats, cleaning up what officials say is the last of the oil from the ruptured tanker American Trader. The Michigan and South Carolina state senates have approved bills requiring minors to get parental or court permission before having an abortion. The South Carolina measure would require parents who refuse permission to share legal and financial responsibility for raising the child until the mother turns 18. The dollar is stronger overseas. Gold is up over a dollar in London, and on Wall Street, the Dow Industrial Average is ahead 2.25 at 26.27. Time on the roundup, 10 minutes past 7.